okay, we saw some Oreos, and we were like, stop everything, stop everything. Emergency podcast, emergency podcast. We have Coke-flavored Oreos that we absolutely had to try. And what are you going to wash Coke-flavored Oreos down with?
Oreo-flavored Coke.
So Coke-flavored Oreos, Oreo-flavored Coke. We got to do some analysis on this first. All right. Let's talk about first, they are red and black. They're red and black. The Oreos are red and black. The Coke side, the red side, has Coke bottles on them or says Coca-Cola. Do yours say?
Mine says Coke.
Hers says Coke. Mine says Coca-Cola. Coke bottles that are cheersing. Coke bottles that are cheersing. And then the black side just has Oreo on it. Just so you know that it's not just Coke-flavored cookies. You know it's Coke-flavored Oreos. These are the craziest things I've ever seen. I don't even know what I want to do. First, okay, hold on. What do you think the Coke-flavored Oreos are going to taste like?
I don't know. They smell like Coke.
I wonder if the Coke smells
like Oreos.
I think that...
Smells weird.
It does smell weird. I smell Coke and Oreos.
Yeah, me too. And the
Oreo flavored Coke. The Coke flavored Oreos definitely smell like Coke. So do you think the Coke flavored Oreos are going to just taste like Coke?
I don't know. I feel like Coke normally has like a stronger taste than Oreo.
I agree.
So I think for both of them, the Coke might overpower a little bit.
I think I agree. So you're expecting Coke-flavored cookies with a hint of Oreo.
Yes.
So do you think
the Oreo?
Okay. So yeah. Do you think the cream tastes like Coke or Oreo, or just tastes like cream?
A little bit of both, maybe. Okay. I don't know.
So I'm thinking, if you smell just the red one, it smells super strong like Coke. Okay, the Oreo part does too. I think.
But maybe it's the frosting from the Oreo.
Yeah, but if you just have the red part, I don't smell. Yeah, if you just take the red part off and smell that, it 100% just smells like Coke. There's no frosting on there. I mean, it was touching frosting,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, but the frosting might smell like that, too.
Okay. So what I'm thinking is that this is going to taste, so the cookies are going to taste like Coke, but the cream is going to taste like cream, and it's going to be kind of like a float with ice, like kind of like ice cream inside of a Coke, like a Coca-Cola float. I kind of think I want to try the drink first. Mostly because I'm thirsty. Well, okay, which one do you want to try first?
Oreo.
Okay, Oreo. Oreo cheers. Emergency podcast so we can have some Oreo, Coke-flavored Oreos. It smells like Coke. I don't think it really tastes like Coke. Yeah,
they're
it's like
popping candy things.
So they put pop rock things inside these cookies to mimic the flavor of like
fizzy, like
carbonation in the Coke. So it's hold on, the dog sees a ball and it wants the ball. Yeah, so they put like pop rocks in here, so like when you bite into it, it's like the fizz of a Coke. I think that it tastes. It's actually weird. Mm. I don't dislike it. It's definitely got the fuzzy. I don't think it tastes like Coke at all.
Me neither. It tastes like. I still think it tastes good, just doesn't taste like Coke. That's how most flavored things are. Like, lemon-flavored ice cream doesn't taste like lemons.
Well,
cotton candy ice cream doesn't taste like cotton candy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, cotton. Of course it doesn't taste like cotton. I think cotton flavored ice cream tastes like cotton candy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying
Maybe
to find...
Maybe it's a texture that throws me off of cotton candy ice cream.
So I think what they were going for this was to give the smell of Coke. So while you're eating it, you get the smell of Coke. You get the fizz of Coke. But then when you eat it, it tastes a little bit more like Oreo.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like a taste that I can't distinguish. Okay, I want to try this. I think I was mostly looking forward to this. Oreo Cheers times two. Oreo flavored Coke. What do you think? I think it
mostly tastes like Coke to me.
It mostly tastes like Coke, but I think I get Oreo.
Yeah, I do get a hint of Oreo.
I don't know.
This isn't bad either.
Yeah, it's not bad.
If it was bad, I wouldn't be still drinking it.
Yeah,
but
I think it mostly just tastes like Coke.
Mm-hmm. But Coke's good. So.
Yeah, I agree. These cookies, I don't even see. I guess there are little dots in here that make the fizzy.
Wait, I do see like yellow dots.
Okay, you see it. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're in here, like there's, it's not quite double stuff amount of cream, but I think it's more than the normal amount of cream that they put in Oreos.
Mine's like almost, wait, maybe it is double stuff.
No, because double stuffed is definitely more than this.
Yeah, but this is pretty.
But on the other side, it looks thinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like a lot of cream, but not quite double stuffed amount of cream. Well, these are cool. We've been stockpiling so many Oreo flavors. Mm-hmm. Like, we got this, right? We got this, we got popcorn Oreos, but Coke flavored Oreos warrants an emergency meeting, emergency podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I need to ever have these again.
But, like, if someone was like, here's a box of Coke flavored Oreos,
you'd well, yeah. That's true.
You'd be like, yum!
Good point. If somebody gave me a bunch of peanut butter flavored Oreos, I'd be like, yeah, no thanks.
I'd say thank you and then throw them away. Or maybe like give them to mom or something. Re-gift that.
Well, definitely in my head, I'd be like, no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how's your week been? Anything interesting or exciting happen this week?
Tomorrow? One second.
I still got Coke Oreos chewing. How big was this bite you took?
The entire
Oreo. Did you
just shove
the whole Oreo in your mouth in the middle of a conversation?
Yes. Tomorrow we're going on a field trip.
Mm.
Well, technically not a field trip. We're walking to Oakmont behind the golf area. Mm-hmm. There's a creek.
So you're going to a creek?
Mm-hmm. To try to see if we can find like invertebrates, animals, which is like animals without a backbone.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been learning about invertebrates and vertebrates.
What's an invertebrate? What's a vertebrate? Vertebrate? Vertebrate.
Vertebrate.
Vertebrate?
I think so.
Vertebrate.
Vertebrate?
Vertebrate.
Is an animal with a backbone, so then we're vertebrates.
Okay.
Invertebrate is an animal without a backbone.
Okay.
So, like, trying to think of an example.
That was going to be my next
dragonfly.
Question. Dragonfly?
Dragonflies are invertebrates.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought that they did
have... a scavenger hunt for invertebrate.
Okay, dragonfly? What else?
In
my brain, I keep thinking.
A lot of other things nobody's probably heard of, and I forget the names of.
In my brain, like, all I can think of is amphibians. But I know that's not right. So, let's see. Examples of invertebrate.
Invertebrate.
Well, it's
invertebrate.
It's invertebrate.
Oh, sponges.
Sponges.
Like sea sponges. Octopus.
Octopus. That's ladybug.
Bees.
Bees don't have backs.
They don't have backbones.
They don't have backbones.
Some things have things like backbones.
Oh, the American lobster.
Jellyfish.
I guess Canadian lobsters have backbones. So lots of bugs, scorpions, moth.
Butterflies.
Spider. Banana slug. There's jellyfish. Okay. Yeah. Squids, jellyfish, octopus.
So, like, if anything's super wiggly, like, pretty much all over, or, I'm pretty sure,
I'm wiggly,
like, most...
all over. I'm wiggly all over. Does this mean I don't
and
have a vertebrae?
Pretty much most...
Look, I'm wiggly all over.
Most things that have a shell, I think, are...
Ooh. Like a turtle? Do you think a turtle is an invertebrate?
Turtles are invertebrates.
They are?
Sure. Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, got it. That's cool. So you're going out to see if you can find... Most likely you're not going to find a squid.
Probably like bugs.
Maybe slugs.
There was crawfish
mm-hmm.
that were like pretty big that people find. Like...
At the creek, you can find a crawfish?
Yeah. Someone in my class said that, like, if you look at the creek and you see, like, a rock almost, like, moving, that means there's probably a crawfish in there.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even know that they had crawfish here. I thought they all lived, like, in Louisiana or
somewhere.
I think
that's what
Mississippi.
It's called, crawfish.
Maybe, probably. I don't know. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, because... We get, like, nets and gloves, so I don't have to actually touch it with my bare hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to, like, walk there and get exercise and catch bugs.
I see.
And skip a lot of school.
Okay. So not so much seeing, well, not so much seeing invertebrates, just all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the walking and the going outside and doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Someone saw a turtle once.
Who saw a turtle once?
One of the years, like in Miss Lyon's class.
Oh, okay.
Like a different grade. Yeah.
Okay, I got you. That's cool. What else? Anything else going on? Excited about this week? Not that you can think of.
Oh, I also have Walker tomorrow.
What's
and today
Walker?
Was the first lower school morning meeting.
What's Walker?
So Walker is you... So for JK in kindergarten, there are people that sign up in the mornings and afternoons to either walk them to their from their cars to their classrooms and... from their classrooms to their cars.
Mm-hmm. Is that fun? Is that just like another thing that's
fun.
Different than a normal day, or are you just like talking to the younger kids or what?
Like talking to the younger kids and getting to interact with younger Huskies.
Do you remember being walked? Oh, did you ever get walked?
No.
Oh, COVID. That was because of COVID, so you never got to be one of the walked.
We didn't get buddies either because of COVID.
I see. Well, that's cool. I had a question for you. I was wondering if there was, like, if there's anything that you can remember that you've done or accomplished that you are proud of. Like, is there something that you're like, I'm proud that I did this, or I'm impressed with myself for accomplishing this?
Sewing that jacket made out of those things.
Oh, like that's right.
Yeah.
So we got some material in New York City that had, like,
garment district.
In the garment district of New York City that had, like, what looked like to me as a non-sewing person, that looked like a pretty challenging piece of fabric to work with. But you happened to take that fabric and turn it into a jacket, right? Why is that something that you're proud of?
Because it was hard and it took a lot of patience. Because, like, at first, like, so we put another fabric inside of it, so mm-hmm. you're not, like, constantly getting poked with those sequin things.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the inside's soft, it's pretty thin, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you just have one piece of that fabric, you can sew through it. But with two pieces of that, then that inside thing, the machine won't sew over that.
Okay, I got it.
So then I had to take some of the plastic things off so I could sew.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like I took them off because I sewed there and it's on the inside and got, like, cut and stuff. Then I had to take every single one off of where I was going to sew.
That's actually pretty smart. Because when I was looking at it, I was like, how is she going to cut those things off? Or how is she going to sew through those things? It never would have occurred to me to peel it off, sew under it, and glue it back on so that you could hide it and it looks all seamless.
We didn't glue it back on.
You sewed it back on, right?
Nope.
Oh.
Because when you sew it, pretty close to where the other ones are.
I see.
So then it's all in the inside, and if you want, you can just cut it.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's interesting, and I like that you said that you're proud of it because it was hard to do, and you still took the patience. What I learned recently is that there is... Okay, get this. Listen. There's a part of the brain that I can't pronounce or don't remember that is specifically, it's like a muscle. So whenever you do hard things, that part of your brain actually gets bigger. So, like, anytime that you do, like, something that you perceive as difficult, whether it's physical or mental or emotional or something like that, and you get through it, that part, it's like exercising that piece of your brain and it gets bigger and stronger. And because that part of your brain, I'm not sure if it gets bigger because your brain is only this big, and if it grows and where it's the other parts, but whatever.
Maybe it just gets a little bit bigger.
Yeah, but it definitely grows and becomes more capable. And what happens is that after you get through that hard thing, it makes it easier for you to be able to do hard things. So it's like a muscle, like you lift weights and like, this is hard, but you keep exercising that muscle and the muscle gets stronger and then the weight gets easier to move that weight.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was crazy. So, but it's like if for the most part, people don't want to voluntarily do hard things. So I guess that part of the brain doesn't really get the exercise it needs for most people, but...
And when you do more hard things, then it's easier to do right. hard things. So you're more like, eh, I'll do it.
Yep, exactly. Well, it'll still, I guess it'll still be perceived as hard, but you've trained yourself to be like, I know that I'm going to be able to get through this difficult thing.
That's really cool.
I think it's cool. I think it's... And it's like... I kind of want to test it. I'm like, okay, so what are hard things that I... Like, what are something that I can see is really difficult that I go and do and I can exercise as part of my brain? And then the byproduct is, like, I probably either gained a skill or I'm more, like, able to do more of an exercise or something. I don't know. But I think it's interesting. And I was like, what could I do? I keep thinking about like hard academic things. Like, what can I study for? What's something new that I could learn that's difficult to learn or whatever? I don't know. But I wanted to try it and test it.
What's something hard you've done that you're proud of?
That is a great question. Because when I was thinking about asking you, I thought the same thing. It was like, what have I done that's hard that I'm proud of? And I think that I don't know. I don't have a word for it yet. Because for most of the things that I've done that I think that a lot of people would consider difficult, like I got my doctorate degree, so... A lot of people would consider that difficult, but then after I got it, I was just like, like no big deal. Like I didn't perceive that as difficult other than just going to classes and doing the work. Like for the most part, I didn't think that the work was that difficult. So I have a hard time thinking of something that I'm proud of doing because after I finished that thing, I always think, no big deal. It wasn't that bad. Which makes it, so I can't think of things that I'm proud of. I can think of accomplishments like getting jobs and going to school and getting into college and things like that. But
starting a lake house business.
Yeah, there's that too, but it's like, I don't know. But that might just be a mindset thing. Like maybe I need to just sit down and look at these things and be like, I should be proud of that. And then maybe if I do that, it'll make me feel like I'm proud of it. But at the moment, it doesn't. So
I'm trying to think of hard things like that seemed hard to me
that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've built things like wood,
like that table.
Like I've made tables. I don't know. I'll have to get back to you. I'm sure there's a
like, is there like a cyber security thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of that, but there's still like, to me, it's still like, meh. That wasn't that bad. So I think what it takes is, I think for me to perceive if something is difficult that I achieved, I think that it's going to take me failing at it over and over and over and over again until I finally, and me keeping at it until I finally get it. I think that that's what it will take, because a lot of the things that I can think of, like, I don't think I failed at when I tried them. I think that's what it's going to take. Is like, I tried over, I didn't get it. I kept trying anyway, I didn't get it until I finally get it. I think that's what it's going to take for me to be like, I'm proud of that. Go me.
That's what happens a lot in sewing. Like, there's a thing called a seam ripper.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sew and you mess up, you literally have to go back and do it again. And, like, rip all the thread you just sewed.
Oh. So, like,
undo all the work that you just did.
Mm. Yep. I could see that.
And then you have to, like, sew it again. And if that's not right, then you have to undo that and try again and again till you get it. Because if you sew something wrong, it can have consequences, like, later on, kind of.
Yeah.
And when you go to wear it... The arms will be like
this.
Yeah. Like, or it might be too tight at the beginning and you can't even get your arm in.
Yeah.
Yep. Or, like... Like, if it's pants, the waist thing might be way too big or way too small.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So...
We're just uncomfortable.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have experience in that. So I guess all of that to say, like, yeah, anytime you're like, this is hard, I don't want to do this, you can just be like, but I want to exercise my brain and get hard things and get, like, yeah,
bigger brain muscles.
Yeah. So I guess, actually, one last question, I guess. So when, what's your approach, like, if you see something and you're like, that looks hard, like, that task looks hard, I'm not sure I can do it, or that's going to take a lot of work. Like, what do you, how do you go about doing that anyway? Like, is your, does your brain go like, I give up before I even start? Or is it like, I'm going to find help? Or is it like, I think I can do this, I'm going to try, and then if I need help, I'll get help? Or, like, what? How do you go about?
Well, sometimes I don't have a choice. I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and sometimes I have to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
But if I think I had the choice all the time, I would try it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I couldn't figure it out, then I'd go ask someone for help.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't know, then I might, like, go do something else and then come back to it later with the, like, resetted mindset.
Oh, that's a good strategy. I think that a lot of problems are solved just by going away and not thinking about it and then coming back to it with a new perspective on it. Okay, anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, in school, mm-hmm. we learned, like, some, like, the brain, well, there are a lot of things we learned about the brain and wellness,
mm-hmm.
but something we learned about the brain not in wellness, like, when you try something, it's like, imagine, like, a little pathway. Like, if it was an actual pathway, maybe, like, it's still, like, hard to get through. Like, rocky and bumpy everywhere, yep. and, like, unflat land.
Yep.
Then you do it again, and, like, some of the rocks disappear, and then yep. you do it again and again, then there's a clear road that's super easy to walk on.
Yep, those are called neuropathways. Uh-huh. So, like, it's creating brain connections. That, so when you do things for the first time, your brain's like, what is this? Oh, ah! But you keep going through that, so then you create neural pathways that find an efficient way to accomplish this task that makes it much more comfortable for you, that makes it easier for you to recall how to do it, and control, or these are neural pathways work physically, so if you, like, are trying to jump high, you'll have a neural pathway for jumping higher too, like all, like, these,
a strategy for mm-hmm. maybe you jump on one leg and that gets you high.
Exactly. Or maybe you need to, like, thrust your hip forwards a little bit more, and then the more you practice that thing, you'll have a neural pathway for it and your body will respond better for it. So yep, that's exactly true. But that happens for good things and not necessarily good things. So if you have a belief that, like, you're growing up and you're like, my hair is too big, my hair is too big, you'll have that neural pathway or belief that your hair is too big, even though it's not true. So yeah, it works for good things and skills, and also works for bad, like bad habits or whatever. So if you want to reverse that "my hair is too big" pathway, then you just have to find that unused pathway that's all rocky and bumpy and harder to get through, to be like, no, it's not. My hair is perfect. No, it's not. And then this one, since this pathway of "my hair is too big" isn't getting used anymore, then it starts becoming bumpy and growing trees and woods and stuff. And then the easier pathway of "my hair isn't too big" will be clear. And so, yep, the brain is a very interesting organ that we don't even really understand. We probably, I would say we understand like maybe like 3 or 4% of it.
And we only use like a certain...
People say that. I don't think that's true, but that's a whole... I don't think that's true. I don't think, because there's...
I want to know if it's scientifically proven before, like...
What scientifically proven?
How much of our brain we use.
So, I think that it is... I think that that's just not the way that the brain works. I don't think that it's like we only use this much of our brain. I think that the brain works in that it's all being used in the ways it's supposed to be used. And we just have like different, like the neural pathways or ability to connect different things hasn't fully been explored. I think we use 100% of our brain, but I think our human capability isn't fully understood yet. So that's what I think, but I don't know. Because I remember listening on podcasts or something like that, and they're like, because they've been movies that are like, humans only use like 5% of their brain, but if you take this pill and use 80% of your brain, you'll be a superhero. So, sorry, what were you going to say?
Fun fact. The left part of your brain controls the right side of your body, and the right side of your brain controls the left side of your body.
That's interesting.
Because I guess it just, like, crosses.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Does it go inside and... Just, well, so actually, that's a good question. So if I look in the mirror, the right side of my brain is on the left because it's reversed in the mirror. Right? So, like, if I raise my left hand in the mirror, it looks like it's my right hand.
Because, right? Like, the mirror bounces off your reflection. Like, if you look into the video right now and you raise, and I raise my right hand, in the video it looks like my left hand.
Right.
Because it's facing this way.
So maybe that's why.
That way.
So maybe that's why it's the opposite side.
Like they're reflecting.
Yeah, because it's kind of like a reflection.
It is a reflection.
No, I'm saying the brain.
Yeah.
With the left side, controlling the right side, maybe it's because of reflection. Whatever.
So one side of your brain's more creative, and the other side of your brain's like more academic. Academics, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, I forget which side's which, but I wonder if you're right-handed or right or left-handed or left-footed or something like that. I wonder if that says something about your personality.
I'm sure it does. What it says, I don't know, but I'm sure it says something.
Or maybe... Because I think a lot of people are right-handed. I'm pretty sure that's their left side's the academic part of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if, like, since you use your right hand for, like, writing, and sometimes people, like, count with their fingers,
mm-hmm.
and all sorts of other things. I wonder if that's why a lot of people are right-handed, because they use the right hand for a lot of academic things.
Interesting theory. But right-handed people also use their right hand for drawing things.
Art's a class.
That's true. Art is a class, but isn't it a class on creativity?
Well, being creative, I guess almost everything in a way is learning. Because you're learning how to do that better. Even like
you're learning how to be more creative.
Slamming this paper towel on the table. I'm learning, like, a good angle to slam it at.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or, like, how to slam it harder.
That's true. Know. Yeah, you are but learning.
You are learning with everything. So
that's true.
Maybe that's why, like, the right hand is most common to be
I don't know.
The hand people use most.
Yeah. I am curious about if left-handed people are more of something than right-handed. I once saw a story on the news where they were talking about these people who, like, have super memories. Like, they remember, you ask them, okay, in January 5th, 2016, what was the weather like? And they'll be like, it was sunny.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they'll be like, okay, so what happened in the news on February 2nd? And they'll be like, I remember that I walked outside that day and I tripped and I was like, oh, I need to move that rock. And then, like, oh, that's right. That reminded me of the time. That's when I saw that airplane. And then, like, some
stuff. How do they know they're not making it up?
Because, like, they can go back and verify it. So if they ask what the weather is like, they can go and look and see what the weather is like, because they track that. But the reason I said all of that is that one of the things that those people all had in common was they were left-handed.
That's interesting.
That is super interesting. Yeah, I thought that was crazy. So,
how many people was it?
It was like 5 or 6 or something. So they were searching for like...
5 or 6 could be a coincidence, but not very likely.
Yeah, well...
Because most people are right-handed.
Yeah, most people are right-handed and most people can't do the things that they could do. So they were trying to find out things that they had in common. And I actually know somebody that's kind of like that, like probably not to the degree that they were, but she was also left-handed. Like I could ask her, I'd be like, so I could ask her the same question, like, what was the weather on whatever? And she could tell me like exactly. I was like, ah. So yeah, I think that there's something to the brains of left-handed people that might be potentially different than right-handed people. I don't know.
Well, does it really take that much creativity to remember?
No, that's. I guess that's my point. Like, it's not like I know that there's a creative side in the brain and a non-creative side of the brain. But I'm curious if that's the only differences. Like, I think that the person that I was talking about, she's not creative at all, but she's left-handed. But she does have that ability to do all that recalling that most people can't do.
And people can learn to write with their left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they keep practicing writing with their left hand, they'd get better at it. But, like, were all these people just born, like, writing? Like, yeah. Well, not born writing.
Well, they're, people are born with a dominant and less dominant side. So people are born, like, even when they're babies, before they can learn to walk or whatever, like, they'll be more likely to grab something with their left hand. Or if there's a ball, they'll be more likely to kick something with their left foot.
Unless you practice with the other hand, then that hand will become dominant.
Yes.
If you practice with that hand, like, right away.
Yes, that's true.
So when you're a baby, you can really change, like, your dominant and non-dominant.
Yeah, but when you're a baby, we're like, why would I do that? I'm just going to
grab that ball somewhere. Yeah, kick it over.
I just want to kick this thing, so I'm going to kick it. Like, I don't know. Why would I? Yeah.
There's candy up there. I'm just going to grab it.
Yep, with my dominant hand, my strong dominant hand or whatever. So, yeah.
That's really interesting.
It is super interesting. And that could be, like, I guess I've actually have always been curious about the brain and learning about the brain and what it can do. So maybe that could be my hard thing, is studying the brain.
Miss Sorby's super curious about the brain. But it is, like, an awesome thing that helps you live every single day.
Yeah. That helps you do anything at all. Yeah.
But, like, that's super worth studying.
Yeah. For real, for real. All right, anything else?
Not that I can.
All right, let's wrap it up. We were talking for 40 minutes. It's a good combo. It's a good combo. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.